Chofetamos, 19th of July, Dain Yitzhak Silva, Oni Hamahapech Bacharura, Gesamping in Property and in Business.
Organizing it. Yeah, the sugya of Oni Hamahapech Bacharora. If your friend is in the middle of doing a deal, trying to buy a house, can you offer the person selling it a little bit more and take the house for yourself? If your friend's got a business running, are you allowed to open something similar up next door? What about if you're walking down the street with your friend and he points at a £50 note on the floor and he says, wow, someone's dropped £50. And he starts bending down to get it. Are you allowed to snatch it first? So these are many different cases in Chazal of outdoing somebody. There's a word, gazumping, which I think is only used in England. I don't know if it's English or Yiddish. I don't know if anyone else does either. Okay, now what about if a lady's got a little kindergarten going in her flat on the fourth floor? Can another lady open up a kindergarten on the first floor, the ground floor, and maybe a lot of children will move over to her? Or for that matter, can a few foreign melamde tinoikos just turn up and open their own cheder over here and close down the local cheder automatically, because all the children will just flow over into the new cheder, and the old cheder with all its debts and all the toil over the years will just close down. Would it be permissible to just open up a new cheder? And what about copyright laws? Can I just steal a Microsoft Tochnit program? I'm sorry, I've been out of the country for 30 years and I grew up in Stamford Hill on top of it. So you have to excuse my English, but you'll get my message. Yeah, so can you just copy the latest musical tape from some Jewish artist or Gentile artist? Okay, these are the... What about if somebody's got a booming business, and the truth is that before he opened this business, he used to sell eggs from the back of his van, but he had an einfall, he had an idea, and he got this major finance expert, and he somehow rigged together a contract with a big wage for this unemployed expert, and he opened up a big finance company, and just getting an 18th of a percent on the huge loans that he's arranging for governments, he's become a multimillionaire. Can you go over to this big expert who's everybody trusts and relies on and understands and offer him a better wage than Mr. Egg is giving him and take him away? And then the egg thing will have to retire with the millions he's made and you'll have a booming business. Okay, these are questions. Before we go into the answers, we'll put down four different guidelines. There is something called hefka, which we all know what that means. It's ownerless. For instance, the money in the street, which is just sitting there waiting for somebody to find it. There is something called mahapach. That means that somebody has already started working on it. The Mishnah and Gemara speak about a pear olive tree. The way you harvest olives is you put some sheets down on the floor, you climb up on the tree, and you shake the branches and sometimes hit them, and the olives fall, then you gather them in afterwards. At that point, when the poor man is on top of the tree working so hard, he has certainly, if he has not spread out sheets, which it's not his kli yet, and he just wants to collect the olives afterwards, there would actually be, according to the Torah, there's no gezel, in stealing or taking those olives from the floor. However, Chazal said that is gezel midivrehem. It's gezel midirabonon. It's not his yet. He hasn't made a legal acquisition. However, it is not allowed midirabonon. Okay, that's gezel midivrehem. If you took it, you don't have to give it back, but you weren't allowed to take it. So this is more than mitzia. Mitzia was just hefka. The £50 note on the floor, that was fine. You can grab it first. It's not his just because he saw it or he pointed at it. I'm not sure he'll want to make a shidduch with you if you did that, but you could. You could do it. It's according to the Torah, it's fine, and it's not necessarily such an irreputable act. Yeah, after that, but mahapach, if he's already invested some effort, so then it's not so poshut at all that you would be allowed to outdo him. The next stage is tircha, that he's more than just tircha we spoke about. Tircha was on the olive tree. There's another stage, a middle stage, called mahapach. He hasn't actually climbed up the tree and shaken the branches and put in all that effort. He's put in a very minimal effort. The minimal effort would be, the Gemara speaks about, like, market day's finished, anyone collects spare hangers, so go to Petticoat Lane, and when the market day's over, you can gather 1,000 of them from the floor. I know someone who made a lot of money in the vegetable market, the pallets. He sent goyim around to collect them all, and then he sold them to the man who sells the pallets, and made a lot of money on it. Yeah, so there are spare stuff at the end of market day that nobody really needs. So the Gemara relates to a case where a baker has gone home and he's left the glowing coals behind, presumably that was allowed in those days, and he's left a lump of dough on these glowing coals, which will become a piece of a roll, will become a roll of bread. Now, you come along and you see this dough on the coals, and you start poking it around the hapech, turning it over. You're not menakef barosh hazayis. You're not on top of the tree putting in major effort. You're just poking it to turn it over to make it work well. Now Rashi says this is talking about hefka. Tosfos says that we're talking about the owner is still here, the market stall owner, and he is just and you're trying to like persuade him and to give it to you. Okay, Rashi says it's hefka, and if one person is already poking it around, being a mahapach, another person cannot come along and outdo him. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says, no, if it's hefka, that even though he started fiddling with it, you can outdo him. It's what we're talking about here is that he's trying to persuade the Baal HaBayis to give it to him. So if he's persuading the Baal HaBayis to give it to him, so why did you stop over here for this? You could easily go to somebody else. I am busy trying to persuade this Baal HaBayis. You go persuade a different Baal HaBayis. Why do you have to take my deal, which I already started and I'm busy with? However, if it would be hefka, says Tosfos, that would be okay, because I can't tell you go get from somewhere else because there's nowhere else to get from. This is a very important point. The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, Paskin and many others, all Paskin like Tosfos. Meaning if I cannot find this anywhere else, I am allowed to take it. It may not be such a reputable thing to do, but I am allowed. Meaning if there's a house on sale next to my house, and I need this house for either my elderly parents or my children, or for whatever, because my family's growing, I want to knock between them, even if there would not be a din of bar metzra, I will be able to gazump. This is the halacha. Again, I'm not sure people will want to make a shidduch with me after that, because it's something which is accepted in our society as not something that you don't do in business ethics. But let's just be clear, this is business ethics. This is not necessarily halacha lamaisa. Yet some say that if he was mahapach, you know, he called a surveyor, and he called a mortgage broker, and he's got a lawyer on the job, and so he's already a mahapach, then it's not so simple at all that I would be able to go and get this house before him, even if I have all the reasons in the world that I would want to, that I need it. And if I did, I may need to give it back to him. That's Amaculacus. Now, having said that, there are certain cases where reputable people will want to, there are situations when we will expect people to act like Rashi, meaning even though it is Hefka, we will still say, stay clear and let your friend have it. An Odom Choshuv, somebody who is more important than other people in the community. So people look up to him and people will learn from his ways. People will be confused if they see him doing something, even though it's allowed. They will wind up doing things which are not allowed, possibly afterwards. Okay, this is a Odom Choshuv. There are also certain situations. If your friend is trying to strike a deal, and he's dealing with, let's say, I mean, in those days, you'd buy a suit, you'd haggle with a salesman until you get a good price. So let's say, some of us still remember it, okay, let's say you're haggling away with this, salesman, it doesn't make a difference if he is Jewish or not, you're haggling away with him, and you didn't manage to get to a deal, so you walked out of the shop. Now that you've walked out, I, have been watching this from my car window, can step into the shop and take over the deal. I've had all the, and I could take it, that's not a problem. Some poskim say, if you've walked out in the shop, in the kind of scenario that you're probably going to be coming back to organize your, you just walked out as a tactic, but you're going to be back. So then I can't step in yet. But one thing is for sure, that if you have just gone home because you want to see, because you want to get your money or your credit card or whatever, so then I would not be allowed to go in there and take it. This would be a din of mahapach. Even
how
had
do you know that? How are you meant to know what?
Yeah, if you don't know, you don't know. You don't know. You don't have to worry that maybe you're breathing in worms from the air. Eloi machzakina nisura. If you don't know, you don't know. But we're talking about in a case where you do know. The Gemara talks about a story of somebody who actually bought a plot of land, and he did not know, an amoyer, and he did not know that somebody else was busy with it. And he, when he heard about that, when they told him, he was quite upset, and he said, so take it. And the other person said, no, I don't want to take it, I'll buy it off you. And he said, I'm not selling it because it's my first deal, and it's not a good muzzle to sell your first deal. I'll give it to you for free. So he said, I'm not taking it for free. And it just was left alone, and it was used by the yeshiva for whatever purposes they needed it. So if you know, you know, and if you don't know, there's certainly elif nimishra sadin to give it back, but you may not have to. Okay. Yeah, what about if your friend is getting a real, real metzia? I don't know whether the guy just has fallen into gambling, or he's bankrupt stock, or, you're not allowed to buy it if he's stolen it, because that's lifnei iver, but for whatever reason, he's selling it very, very cheap. Yeah. So now we've moved over to what's called metzia, not only in Yiddish. We're talking about hilchus metzia. It's now so, so cheap that I can't find this anywhere else. If I can't find this anywhere else, according to Tosfos and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramon, the Poskim, I can gazump, or whatever the word is. I can take it off him because I can't find it so cheap anywhere else. It has a din of metzia. The same thing would go for a possibly, I'm not paskening, you have to ask your local rabbonim, for a property, let's say, in this area. There are areas that the properties are in very high demand, and they're very hard to get. And it's not just over here, or in Monsey, or Los Angeles, or Gateshead, or Manchester. It's all over the world where the frum people are living. It's very hard to get to buy a property. So if that's the case, till you find something, it could be that this has a din of metzia, and another person would be able to gazump. So long as you've only just about started, but if you have hired your lawyer and your surveyor and your mortgage broker, so then that would already be a mahapach and you would no longer be able to do it. Meaning if, let's say, a goy is selling a house in this street that's worth £1 million and he's selling it for £800,000, some people say it has to be a sixth less, 15% less, he's selling it for £800,000, that's very cheap, he doesn't know, he lives in Yorkshire and his old mother just passed away and he wants this over and done with fast. So he's selling it for £800,000, and you know another year two's busy with it, so you walk over and you offer him £823,000. And he's happy to finish the deal with you. You arrive there with a lawyer and everything on site, and it's done. So that, according to the halacha, seems would be allowed. Again, I don't know if we want to be doing business with this person, because it's in business ethics and what's accepted in our society, that would be quite underhand. And we'd be careful from such a fellow, because when's he going to do it to us? But in halacha, that would be allowed. What about in shidduchim? Somebody is busy dating a girl, and he's already been on a few meetings and whatnot. And I personally feel, first of all, I like that girl. Second of all, I personally feel that I would be a better husband for her. I've got a better degree and a better parnasa. I'm taller, darker, and handsomer, and I come from better stock, and. For whatever reason, I decide that I am going to, so I send somebody, or do it myself, and go and approach her while she is almost about to close the shidduch with the first person. Funnily enough, this is allowed. Until they break the plate and say mazel tov, this is allowed. Because I can't find this girl anywhere else. Every individual, every human being is very unique, and I can't find this anywhere else. And therefore, this is a metziah. And in addition to the idea that this is a metziah, it is also a mokay mitzvah, because I want to do peruvu, or the erev al tanach yadecha, or whatever it is. Getting married is a mitzvah. So this would be allowed according to the halacha. However, the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, does say it would be reputable to refrain from doing so. What about if I send
Following the example of the house, if the person spent money on the shidduch already, he'd invested time and money.
Well, he has, but I'll explain you the other side of shidduch. You can't tie the girl's hands behind her back. No. Because now you've locked her out of hearing from anybody else. So there's two people, there's two sides over here. It's not just like the Gentile selling his house. Okay.
Do you want to hear from anybody else while she's going out with another person?
What'd you say? I'm not for double dating. What do you say?
She wouldn't want to hear about Shimon.
Well, most of the people here come from that generation that it was like that. But there is such a thing as double dating. I'm not saying it's a wonderful thing. It's also a lot more common by Zibuk Sheni and people who are later on in life and they haven't found a shidduch yet, that they'll try this one and they'll still be thinking about that one. Especially to present day, there's internet, so they can be Skyping, you know, and working out who's best as they're going along. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I personally think it's very confusing, especially for young people. And even if you're looking for two jobs at the same time, it's very confusing, but sometimes you have to do it because you need to bring bread home. Okay, what about if I send a shliach, it's market day, and I send a shliach off to Leipzig, and I ask him, please buy me whatever, diamonds or material or whatever it is. And he goes off and buys it for himself. So he's called a Ramai, he's called a Rosha. He shouldn't have done that. However, if he takes the partnership money, then he's got to, it's for both of us. And if he bought the diamonds and sold them at double, I take half profit. However, if he took his own money, that's when he's just the Ramai, he's just the swindler. If he took the shutfus money and announced in front of two Edim, I am now taking this money for myself and doing this deal for myself, then the deal will be his, but he is a Ramai, because you're not allowed to take partnership money. Now, this is something, quite a common question in a partnership. Sometimes in a family, when one is more active than the other, and there was money lying around in the company, one of the family just went and bought a property and, you know, maybe developed and sold it, let's say, and then the other members of the family say, we want ours also, and say, no, I just borrowed the money. So again, if it was done from the partnership money, like in a limited company, and they've all got their stake in that company, then the profit will be shared out between all of them. If it was done as an individual act, he said, listen, there's money lying around there. He announced in front of two kosher witnesses, I am taking that money and using it for my own purposes right now. Then the deal will be his. Yeah, but now that's just in Hilfus Shutfus, which we're maybe a different time we'll talk about. Back to our story, if you were sent to purchase something for somebody and you didn't purchase it, so he can only have complaints. If you purchased it for yourself, then you are called a rami. If it was with your own money, then the deal is yours, just you will be called a rami. Sometimes it is such a cheap deal that it's got a din of mitzia. So you can say, I am retracting from being in the partnership and I'm doing this deal for myself. Sometimes that would be allowed. What about hiring workers? If you know a certain person has a certain job, and you feel you could do that job better than him, so you are not allowed to go over to his boss and say, you know, right now I'm looking for a job and I have a better degree and I have a lot more experience. You're not allowed to do that. However, if he's already hired and working there. If you know his contract is about to terminate, or you're only talking about when his contract does terminate, that would be okay. I'm not saying reputable. If he's on a trial period, they're just trying him out, that would also be okay. Again, because otherwise you're tying the boss's hands behind his back. If a fellow is already working there, then you cannot offer yourself up. If he started the job, if he's done a kinyan that he's taking the job, you can't outdo him. This would even be if he is a cheder teacher. He's teaching Torah. And you feel you could teach better, you cannot go and approach the headmaster and say, maybe you want to hire me instead of him, or maybe you just want to hire me. Okay. The other way around would be okay. If there'd be a cheder who finds out that a certain good rebbe has been hired by someone else, they would be able to go over to him and say, would you like to work for us? We'll give you better conditions. Because kinas sofrim tarber chokma. The main thing that holds Klal Yisrael together is Torah. Ki mitzien teitze Torah odvar Hashem Yerushalayim. And without Torah, we don't have any existence. We're all gone.
And a chol teacher.
A what? A chol teacher, no. They're poskim, yeah. Let's hear. A chol teacher, no. We're talking about a kodesh teacher. Yeah, kinei mitzvah v'toyra oyer. When the Ritvaz came to Air America, and he was in Chicago, and he had to run away because he thought the kasherus was, he was doing something to the kasherus, and the mafia chased him out of town about 120 years ago. So 115 years ago, so he arrived in New York, and he saw what was going on over there. And he said, Kineir mitzvah Torah oyer. If you're in Europe, there was such a thing as a yid who kept his mitzvahs, and that was it, and he survived. But that was in Europe, because, you know, hundreds of years, that was fine. They were away from the goyim, they weren't working on Shabbos, they covered their hair, they weren't doing mixed dancing or playing poker in a synagogue car and gambling club. So that was fine for Europe. But in America, he said, you can't be Kineir mitzvah, because a ner, a flame, a candle can get blown out by light winds. It has to be Torah Oyer. He told them you have to open yeshivas and you have to be Torah Oyer. So learning Torah is the main thing in Klal Yisrael. And therefore, in Klal Yisrael, in teachers of Torah, you would be able to gazam. This also goes for private lessons, not in maths. Yet private lessons in Torah, if you know of a certain rebbe and he hasn't got any hours left, you can offer him double to learn with your child. And don't worry about it, it will come back from heaven, because the Gemara says that Hoitzos, one of the expenses for educating your sons in Torah, are not in the same cheshbon. The more you spend, the more you'll get back. Okay, so that is employing workers. Yeah, what about persuading? We said this major finance expert who the Poshita Yid found him unemployed and opened this booming business and is making a lot of money, loan brokering for governments and huge companies. And this expert knows how to do it, and he's an intellectual, he's an academic, so he's happy with his £250,000 a year. And the fellow who used to sell eggs from the back of the van is making £25 million a year. So can you go over to that expert and offer him £500,000 a year and open the same business, which the whole business is on him? The answer is no, because you're going to ruin his whole livelihood, which is really the fourth stage. Yorid le'um nosoi shel chaveiroi. If you are if there's a sheitel macha in town, and another woman wants to open up, and everybody is going to go over to her, and the first one will have no business, then you can't do that. Over here, you are stealing his expert, his whole business will collapse. This is common nowadays with a computer expert in a company, or in an insurance company, or in many other, or even in a dentist surgery, or in many other areas where you have one person who is employed, who is holding the whole place together. And if you take that man, then you're going to ruin the whole business, and you're not allowed to be Yered Lu'nos Chaver, ruin someone's whole business.
Are you allowed to be a headhunter?
Yes, that was the next thing I was going to say. Okay, you are allowed to advertise. And if you know that he is like very fond of Jewish golf, you can actually put big ads on the Jewish golf sites that he, every time he goes in, he sees these pop-ups again and again, a job which is exactly looking for him. You can put signs up on the notice board in the apartment building where he lives. You could advertise in every way you want. Again, this is because the point we said earlier, we cannot tie his hands together. He is a free man to go wherever he wants. Li b'nei Yisrael avodim v'lo yavodim la'avodai. So we cannot actually take the fish out of somebody else's net, which is already there, but we can headhunt and he will automatically find us. Yeah, as we said, the poor man shaking away at the pear olive tree, so you cannot take the olives which have fallen down, and that would include any other offer, any other effort that somebody has put into something. Which brings us really to the copyright laws. There are laws, international laws, and every country has its own laws of copyright. I'll tell you how Kol HaZechuyos Shemurois copyright started in Klal Yisrael. Well, printing started around about just before the year 1500, and any book older than that is called an incunabula, which makes it much more valuable. And Jewish printing started about 25 years later, so any sefer printed before 1525 is a lot more valuable than others. Okay, having said that, printing was a huge revolution. Till then, they had to transcribe things by hand and pay people wages for that, etc., and it had mistakes and whatnot. So the rabbi of Padva, he put together a Rambam. He got many, many Kisvei Yad manuscripts, and he got many Talmidei Chachamim and paid them heavy wages, and he put together a perfect Rambam, and he printed it. And shortly afterwards, a non-Jewish printer also put together a Rambam, of course based on his Rambam, and was ruining his Parnassa. So the Chachmei Yisrael of that generation came out with some kind of a cheirim that you've got to give him either 5 or 10 years or a few hundred copies or whatever it was in those days. And this is where Zuchuyot Shmurot copyright started as far as we're concerned. Because just because you've written a beautiful book, there's nothing, I am not stealing if I go and copy it and publish it and distribute it. Even if you've done a beautiful painting, I can come to your house or your museum or wherever, take a picture of it and sell the replicas. So this is that's according to halacha. I haven't actually stolen anything from you. However, if the normal business way, the whole reason why, one of the things if you've done a painting is to be able to sell the replicas, or if you published a book, so actually Haskomas, even till about 250 years ago, you still see people like Rabbi Kivega giving a Haskoma to a Sefer and telling the publisher that you're telling the Klal Yisrael in his Haskoma that you have to let him sell his Sefer for such and such amount of years or such and such amount of copies so that he shouldn't lose his Parnassa. This is what Haskoma used to mean. Over the years, it became a letter of recommendation. Till when have I got? Till? Now. Okay, so we'll have to stop here. Hope it's been beneficial. I brought along some sporim, including this sefer, and it's translated at the back over there. Ich habe mich nicht mehr so gut gemacht. Ich habe mich nicht mehr so gut gemacht. Ich habe mich nicht mehr so gut gemacht.
same.
What?
The house and the same.
Yes, they are. This is my lotto. And I wonder if he is
Yeah.